This is Bill Cosby coming at you with music and fun. And if you're not careful, you may learn something before it's done.
And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
Bœuf bourguignon, French beef stew in red wine. We're going to serve it with braised onions and mushrooms and a wine dark sauce. A perfectly delicious dish. So we could put in a little more tomato paste or a little more thyme. In this case, we fortunately find it's just right. Now for the thickening of it. Now we want to get our pan hot, and we're going to saute it in this first until it's brown, and then we're going to put it in this pot in which we're going to cook it in the oven. Now this is going to go in a 325 oven, and it should cook very, very slowly, just at the bare simmer. And once it's in, except for checking the oven to make sure that it isn't bubbling and boiling, you don't have to look at it anymore. Then I'll let the sauce drain out, and then we simply put the stew back into the casserole. There. You want the flavor of the onions and the beef to all blend themselves with the stew. That's going a little too hard, so I'll put it at the side. There. In about 2 or 3 minutes, you could have it in the icebox and heat it up very slowly and baste the meat with the sauce. And then you cover it and simmer it very slowly for about 2 or 3 minutes until everything is tender and hot through. Well, now this is ready to serve right now.
Hi, this is Carmen.
And Guinevere.
And you're listening to Eat It and Beat It
on the Two True Freaks Network. We are here together.
Alone.
Now we just need you.
Hello, and welcome to Eat It, a podcast about food. I am Freddy Fugu, and I am here with my co-host, Nochu For You.
Hello.
And we are here to talk about the forbidden subject of forbidden foods.
No touchy, no eaty, eaty. No touchy, touchy, no eaty, eaty. Yeah, welcome back. You know, we've been on doing heavy research, you know, traveling for the show. And, you know, when you do a show like this, it's not always a stay-at-home gig. I mean, you have to go to the places, you know, not unlike Anthony Bourdain, minus the autoerotic asphyxiation. You have to go and look up the foods. And, you know, we've been traveling the world. It's a good time to travel because there's no one. The post-apocalyptic world is perfect time to travel, you know, and we it's what we do. We had to go out and get this information for you so that you can have, you know, an hour and 15, 20 minutes of wonderful, wonderful learning experience about forbidden foods.
Yeah, we sort of marched the scorch earth and found out all the stuff you can't eat.
Yeah, you can't eat. And
well, a lot of times it depends on who you are and where you are, whether you can eat it or not.
Yeah,
but for the most part, like, universally, can't eat people. But that was our cannibalism episode.
we mentioned that the name for human meat is long pig, didn't we? Which is which is really great. Yeah, that I think that might have went under taboo foods. We may have done a taboo food episode. But yeah, that definitely would actually, you know, unless you're crashed in the Andes, you know, then you could definitely eat, you know,
you
human flesh.
You can eat people, but you're going to have to go through a court case and get excused by the general public as a case of survival or something. But
they were all Catholics, and the minute the priest and the Pope said, you know what, it's all right, God's cool with you,
digging.
You're digging in. And that actually is going to come up later in our conversation as one of the outs for forbidden foods. And I'm curious to know, as I go through, as we go through some of these things, if you have tried them or if you would try them. That's what I would like to know. But to start off my research with forbidden foods, the main thing that you're going to see is the fruit of knowledge. You know, the fruit of knowledge, biblical times, is the original forbidden fruit, forbidden food.
Now, I've always wondered this. Was it forbidden up until that point, and once the cat was out of the bag?
Yeah, you could probably... It's fine,
but like up until that point, it was forbidden. I've never really...
Very...
I mean, we're allowed to go to school, so...
Yeah, very, very good question. But when you think of the fruit of knowledge, what do you think it is?
I was always taught as a child that it made you realize that you were naked.
Yes, but what did they eat off of the tree?
It was an apple.
It was a fruit, but it's always portrayed as an apple. There's no indication anywhere other than paintings,
portrayals of it
as being an apple, and you know, there's a serpent. Sometimes the serpent is rather sexy, I must say. And
as serpents go,
but sometimes it's just a regular serpent.
My roommate Mike Cross, who you also know,
love Mike,
had a ball python when we were in college, and we had two or three girls who would just come over just to handle the python.
Oh,
for an hour or so. They would just come and sit quietly on our couch. Can I see the python? And they would sit with the python.
Let me tell you something. If you have a python, you're the hit of the neighborhood. I worked with a guy that had a house, but he lived in a teepee in the backyard. And he said he always said he was part like Choctaw. He was all Choctaw or something. And he lived in a teepee, and he carried a knife and everything, and he didn't look very Indian. Maybe his great grandmother blew a chief at one point. But if you touched his knife, I'll kill you, man! I'll kill you. But he slept in this teepee. But the thing that
that's got to be a phrase that means something completely random. Blew a chief.
Yeah.
Ah, man, that guy just blew a chief and just wiped right out.
Yeah, I'm half Indian because you know my grandmother blew a chief. I don't know, but he half of his living room was converted into a snake cage. Glass and everything, and I always wanted to go see it, and he wouldn't show me anything. And then a friend of mine said, "You want to go see the snake? Bring him a chicken." So we brought him a chicken, and after he opened the door, you know, with dream catchers and tomahawks and shit, he let us in. He threw the chicken in this whole plexiglass side of his house, and the chicken was looking around, and all of a sudden, like lightning, that python went and ate the chicken. Feathers everywhere. Never saw a damn thing like it. I did. A few years later, I quit, and the TP was gone, so I guess he moved out. I don't know what happened to him. But anyway, that's our snake tangent.
He had to move on.
Yeah, he had to move on. You know, the trail of tears, and he left.
Stabbed someone on the subway and had to leave town.
Don't touch my knife, motherfucker.
It's more like he started smoking crack and sold the
he was smoking tank. Something. Don't touch my knife. I'll kill you. Yeah. I'll kill you. We'd say, "Hey, we're going to cut your hair." Yeah, I'll kill you. He'd look down at his knife he always wore. But
he moved down the block and built a simple little Japanese shack and told people he was a ninja.
Yeah, pretty much.
My grandmother flew a ninja, and now I carry a knife.
Now I carry a katana. And
exactly.
Now, back to the Tree of Knowledge. There is no written record of it being an apple. It's mentioned as a fruit. Now, if you're Jewish and you can go to the Talmud, the Tree of Knowledge, they say, was a grapevine. You know, for nothing causes more heartbreak than wine, which I can see in Vino Veritas, you know? I mean, that makes perfect sense. You know, the grape, you know, heartbreak. So if you're going to eat from the Tree of Knowledge, you're going to eat a grape, and it's going to break your heart if it but a grape is a grape. You know, I don't see anything about that. But certain rabbis and religious theologians and scholars believe that it was a fig tree because according to the Torah, when Adam and Eve knew they were naked, they sewed fig leaves and made themselves clothes. So they seem to think that it may have been a fig tree. Or my favorite.
All that proves is the existence of fig trees there. Were the only trees fit? Was it just a fig tree?
Come on, guys. It's a fig. But my favorite is the Etrog. Now, I don't know if I've mentioned the Etrog to you before, but it's a huge lemon looking citron, which actually serves no purpose other than. For Jewish holidays, they have these little stands all around the neighborhood, and you can buy these etrogs, and they look like gigantic lemons, but they're all pith, okay? And you want to buy the most expensive one, and some of them go for up to $300 for a lemon. And I would ask the guy, what makes it so expensive? He said, well, it's the color, and it's the perfect little nib on both ends. And you see this one, how this is a $300 one. And how much is that one over there? Well, that's one of our lesser ones. That one's about $50 because it's still half green. It's not perfect. But I said, what do you do, eat them? He goes, no, you don't eat them. You don't eat them at all. You just you put them on your... You take them to the synagogue on a specific day, and then you put them on your counter, and they perfume your room. And I was like, okay, well, that's kind of cool, but I'm not going to pay $300 for something that I'm not going to eat, but I'm not a Jew anyway. So, you know, it's not for me. It's not for me,
it's
too.
It's not going to help your status. It sounds more like a status thing.
Exactly. It is. It is a status thing.
Like the religious version of, like, the handbag.
yeah, it's and the hat, you know, the if you go to a Baptist church, you're going to want to have the best hat, and that's pretty much what the etrog is. You have to have the most beautiful one, but I'm always fascinated by them, and I always just wanted to just buy one of the cheaper ones and let it ripen. I have done some homework on them, and you can peel they're all pith, so, you know, the pith of the lemon is nothing. There's no... You can't do anything with a pith, but you can peel the skin and make candy out of it and candy it. But it's frowned upon. You know, they don't want to do that. It's just not something that you do. So that is one of the forbidden foods that I would definitely like to try. But I'm not going to buy an egrog and pay that much money for the damn thing. But. So, is there anything that I was going to say? Did you come up with a list of perhaps any forbidden foods that you can think of?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I did a little bit. It's this show. A little bit of research on it, but I mean, by a long shot. The number one reason you're not going to be able to eat something is religion.
Yep.
You know, there's some stuff like in America, you can't buy horse. You can't slaughter. You can eat horse if you want to, but you can't like slaughter horses for food and sell it as food. It's more of a just sort of a cultural taboo.
It's a faux pas. Yeah, you can't eat horse. Dog or cat, but in other countries,
number one, it's your religion, whatever your religion is, you know, but depending on where you were born in the world and what the religion is, you know, what your major religion is and what sect of that sect or section of that religion is, and it's the list is endless. So I was just looking for things that were like, well, that's I was trying to find things that had reasons for them that were religious.
There are.
And they always have, you know, there's, and I mean, there's like say the Jewish and, well, the taboos on pork.
Yes.
I have a feeling that had to do with just pork meat, pigs having certain parasites in them that could make you sick.
Well...
And stuff like that, and people would get sick. So it got worked into the religion, but, you know, that a pig is an unclean animal or whatever. And the Buddhists, like, you couldn't eat mushrooms because they were fungi and they grew at night. So you can't eat food that grows at night, you know, for...
That's true. I mean, what about the pig? Now, a pig is not a cloven animal, okay? A pig doesn't have hooves, okay? It has more of like little fleshy, little cute little pig's feet. They don't have. But the main reason, one of the other reasons that you can't do it is because you can't eat scavengers, okay? A pig is considered a scavenger, and it will eat pretty much garbage.
Whatever you put in front of it.
Yes, so it is unclean. So not only does a pig fall into that category, but you must avoid, and this is, of course, if you're Jewish.
But if you're Jewish, they eat carp.
They eat carp. Carp is a scavenger. But it's a
bottom-feeding catfish-like scavenger.
Yeah, and
mudsucker. Yeah, exactly.
Not only are these rules put in place to keep you from eating these type of animals, but it's thought that this is healthy eating. That if you eat a scavenger, you're not like you can't eat seagulls. Okay, avoid eating the seagull because the seagull is a scavenger. Lobsters. Can't eat lobsters or crab because they are scavengers and they eat garbage. You shouldn't eat fat and you shouldn't eat blood. Are two other examples of stuff that you should not eat. And it's main and as far as that goes, it's because they are scavengers and they're not considered kosher. You know, you don't want to eat that stuff. But I've had wonderful Jewish food, and if I could eat Jewish food done correctly, I don't think I would miss. I might miss pork because I'm a big pork fan, but I wouldn't miss lobster. I'd miss crab because I eat crab a lot, but I would not definitely miss. I could eat Jewish food.
Well, the trick is just to eat the Jewish food and not be Jewish.
That's exactly what I do. It's perfect, you know.
Yeah.
But not only.
And then go over to your garage and throw a pig on the Barbie.
And we have done that in a Jewish neighborhood. Yep. And I must say that we did get some looks. But you know, they can understand it. But not only. I'm not gonna just wail on Judea. Christianity has quite a few no-nos. We just don't really pay attention to much of them, and I have mentioned the past that Leviticus is my favorite part of the Bible. I did a series of illustrations on Leviticus because there's some wacky shit in Leviticus that we're just it states stuff that we're not supposed to eat. And if you go to Leviticus 7:23 states that it is forbidden to eat the fat of animals such as cattle and sheep. Now, while this is part of the Old Testament purity codes that are often ignored, it's a good idea to follow it. Animal fat is horrifically unhealthy. While it tastes delicious, fat from animals is high in saturated fats, and fats are associated with heart disease. But, you know, I have to admit that if I have a nice ribeye steak in front of me.
Yes.
I'm gonna nibble on a little bit of the fat. I mean, I'm not gonna say to my guy sitting next to me, "Hey, you're gonna eat your fat? Slip it over here. I'll eat it." But fat is tasty. And
here's the thing: back in those days, though, back in the old like days when they were, pardon, be making up these prohibitions, like, fat was like something you needed. It was like calories. You needed calories.
Yeah.
I think it would be like eat as much fat as you can. It wasn't like they were sitting around watching TV in those days. They were like
they
running around
about
the sun. Yeah, they were
worried
about
heart
fat.
Disease. If you killed a pig, you were going to eat the fat. I mean,
getting every calorie that you can stuffed in.
Yeah.
Every day,
meat was such a for the poor. It was something that they never got. So you know they weren't going to throw the fat away. You would render it to cook with. You would make. You could preserve fat, lardo, which I believe I've talked about before, and it's absolutely delicious. It's pure pork fat, white, clean, that is cured in salt, and then hung to dry, and then you slice it really, really paper thin. And you can heat it up or put it on warm bread, and it kind of melts a little bit. And it's tough to find, but lardo is delicious. If anyone lives next to an Italian meat store, you can probably find lardo. But yeah, try it if you ever get a chance to. But there's always a way around eating forbidden foods. Like, you know, you weren't supposed to eat meat on Friday, but you could eat a duck, because, you know, a duck kind of swims like a fish. It lives in the water, you know. You can get away with eating a duck. There's just all kinds of little tricky ways to get you around eating forbidden food. Now, the Hindus' belief of not eating meat, I think is probably the most practical, because why kill a cow when this cow can provide you with years and years and years of milk? And it doesn't make any sense. And it's also a religious thing. You know, the cow is they worship the cow. So I can understand that.
Could be someone they know is.
Yeah, yeah. It could be Uncle Frank coming back as a cow. So it's there. You know, some of the forbidden foods are definitely laid out in some type of good ideas.
Yeah. Well, there's speaking of the Buddhists, Hindus, the Jains, a lot of their sects and have they love vegetables, but not onions.
Really?
Yeah, because onions inflame desires.
Oh, stupid, sexy onions.
Yeah.
I knew it.
Hot, hot, sexy, big old bulgy onions.
But
make your breath perfect for sexy time.
Onion breath. Onion breath is just mm-hmm. the best. I mean, it's right up there with Marlboro Lights and Coors beer taste, which a girl I used to date back in the day, she always tasted like smokes and beer. So strangely, I do enjoy that. But a lot of the forbidden foods go back a long fucking time, and they don't make any sense right now, because, you know, the whole unclean thing, you know, certain sea creatures, as I said, were always off limits. This is even in Leviticus. But also certain birds you shouldn't eat. And one of them was bats, because this goes back to the day when people saw this thing flying and they said, oh, it must be, it's a bird. You know, it's some kind of bird. Then I guess they never got a look at it. But you know, there aren't very many cultures that eat bats. We still do. China does on occasionally enjoy the roasted bat. But a lot of the forbidden foods is odd to common day Christians and people like that. I'm not going to chow down on a bat, you know.
Right. Well, I mean, if you have a culture that likes rodents, I could see a bat. See a bat go in there. It's a rodent, and then it's got crunchy wing skin on it. So they're like, ooh, yum yum. But like, if you don't like, because you know, I mean, birds. People eat birds, but once you catch a bat and look at it, you're like, oh, it's a rodent.
Yeah, it's definitely a rodent. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. Insects are forbidden by a lot of cultures, but they are kind of coming in vogue now. I mean, there are cricket brownies you can get. There are, when I was in Mexico, you could eat deep fried crickets.
Yeah. And well, I mean, insects
are tarantulas.
Yeah. I mean, I had a friend who used to go to China on business all the time. And that was what he looked forward to, is going to the open markets and getting all the insects. Because I guess he likes spicy food, too. And I guess they really spice up.
Yeah,
in Mexico, the
grasshoppers have a nice lemon-lime pepper type of taste to them. And there's a video somewhere in the archives of Eat It and Beat It where I did. I showed myself chowing down on some spicy grasshoppers. And also, Christians advise against not eating. You can't eat vultures. Again, that falls under the scavenger list. But they would probably be pretty easy to catch. And if you were, you know, really hungry, you know, they pretty much just hang around and pick at shit. You can club one off of in the head, and you could probably eat it. But they survive by eating rotting meat, and they can carry bacteria, so you shouldn't be eating vultures anytime soon. But I haven't seen a vulture since I was back in California. I don't think I've seen any in New York. Maybe you have vultures up there.
We have turkey vultures.
Yeah, that's what we had back. There aren't too many turkey vultures in Queens. Maybe a couple that walk on two legs and walk around the neighborhood.
We saw about four or five of them circling on the way into work the other day.
Oh, okay. Bad. You mean just something was dead or dying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So they were circling something.
No. Blood. The Old Testament just has a lot of forbidden things about consuming blood. For various spiritual reasons, the consumption of blood is forbidden. Blood is considered a meat byproduct, and therefore, you know, you shouldn't eat anything that has blood on Fridays. But pig blood is very common to eat in a lot of cultures. They make sausages out of it. Yep. I know the Portuguese make sausages out of it, and I've had blood sausage. And the thing is that, you know, Christians, at least for the most part, we don't pay very much attention to the whole, most of this stuff, with the exception of vultures and bats, I've never chowed down on, but these forbidden foods have kind of been phased out. There isn't too much that is forbidden. Mostly, if it's forbidden now, it's because there's only one of them left. Like, I, you know, love to eat a California condor because there's maybe 100 of them left or something in the wild.
Yeah.
Unless one
shits
on...
There were, like, these little tiny birds called the ortolans, and they were... I mean, they weighed an ounce and, plucked and ready to go. And they would... they were a delicacy in France. And they were one of those things that would they would pluck it, but they had a whole fancy routine because they were supposedly so delicious that when they would bring out the plate of it and put it in front of you and put a cloth over your head, almost as if you were steaming, you know, like getting some steam for a cold or something, for a sore throat. So you could savor all the odor of it, and then you would eat it in one bite. It was like sometimes they would cut the head and legs off, but mostly you would have head, you know, just plucked with heads and legs, and you would stick it in all except for the head, and you would bite it and let the head drop off, and then you would sit for several minutes just sort of slowly chewing on it, you know, organs, bones, and all.
Well, I know I. When I go to visit my family in Portugal, one of the delicacies is like small birds. They still eat these teeny, teeny. The heads are cut off, but they're tiny, and they cook them in mustard, and they're an appetizer, and they're delicious. Dang it! Tell you they're really good. I have a picture of one of my friends.
These ortolans either were so trendy or so delicious that they almost got eaten out of existence.
Yeah, well, look at the passenger pigeon, you know. Uh-huh. We decided the decimation of the American chestnut tree and the loss of their habitat. They were apparently very delicious because they ate chestnuts, and man, the sky would blacken sometimes for 3 days, and they were supposed to taste really, really good. But I'll never taste one. And I'll never taste a condor because there's only 100 of them left. Unless one happens to shit on my car, then there'll be like 99.
Or we go Mad Max world, and then there's nobody to stop you.
Yeah, yeah. No one to stop you from eating the fucking condor.
And if you're hungry, endangered or not, person or not, you're going to eat them anyway. So
condor. Yeah, if you're starving, you know, I'll have an entire fucking buffet of... I'll go to the Golden Corral of endangered or forbidden foods and just pig out.
We'll have a party for 3 days, and we'll call it 3 days of the condor.
3 days. I don't know how much meat's on a condor, but we'll pick that son of a bitch clean for sure.
Yeah.
But, and I do have a quick look as we probably, you know, wrap up our look before we head on to our famous, Herder's Corner.
I can't wait to find out.
Oh, Jesus. I thought I would go through real quickly. Sadly, you know, we did lose Prince Philip at too soon. He left us too soon at 99 years old. And
bummer.
I hope that Britain has, you know, more 99-year-olds. The worst part about it was I hadn't finished watching The Crown, so it was a spoiler for me. So now I, you know, it just pisses me off. And,
the good news is the Queen is single.
Yeah, yeah.
The Queen, anybody looking to grift their way into?
She's looking
into an aristocracy.
Yeah,
those, you know, royals, sure, those royals like to marry commoners every once in a while.
Hey, so, you know, it went real good when they married a black chick, and I'm sure having a Mexican in the royal family would actually be even better. You know, I can imagine. But, excuse me, in honor of Prince Philip, I thought I would go through just a real quick little list.
I would pay good money, actually, to see your wife kick the Queen's ass.
Oh, yeah. Well,
who is this? Who is this?
Honey, listen. Just a turn. I go through just a real quick list of, there are certain fruits that royals do not eat. Okay. Now, it's just, and there are probably good reasons why they don't eat these foods. Crust. The Queen despises crust. Okay. So all of the sandwiches that you would eat would have the crust cut off. Okay.
Oh, so it's all going to be like 5-year-old stuff.
Yes, yes. It's like when I make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for my son. You know, he likes the crust off. Now, the next important thing, the royal family does not eat garlic. Now, they're not vampires or anything like that.
No, not at all.
But it's not considered coof to say, you know, to eat garlic and then have stinky breath. It's all about, you know, showing, and you can't have stinky breath. And so garlic is a no-no if you're a royal. And the same goes for onions, okay? You had mentioned onions. The royals can't have stinky onion breath when they're meeting new people every day. They just can't. They will also not eat out-of-season fruit and vegetables. So, which is, you know, if you're rich, it's nice, because when nothing is better than a peach that is in season. If you buy a peach that's not in season, it tastes like shit, and I'm not going to eat it, you know?
So a lot of the stuff is just like, oh, I like this, and I don't like this. The onions and garlic part is, that would work out for my housemate, because she's allergic to both of those things, so maybe that should be the scandal, a lesbian marriage with the Queen.
I hope I'm invited. Definitely. I have a suit. But they also will not eat genetically altered fruit, such as strawberries that are genetically modified. And don't dare send them strawberries in January when they are not in season, because they will go to the hell. They will not eat the strawberries, all right? They also refrain from eating rare meat. The Queen is not a fan of rare meat. And even her lamb has to be cooked gray, okay? And it doesn't like rare meat at all. But probably personal preference, you know, but I would not want to have a steak.
Gross.
Yeah, exactly. And here's an interesting one. They won't eat pasta. Why do you think that they don't eat pasta?
Because they think the Italians are stinky with garlic and
garlic
onions?
Garlic and onions. They're afraid that it's a little too starchy and filling, and it might get all over their clothes, you know?
Oh, I thought you were going to say they were going to fart. And...
Yeah, the royals don't fart. Come on. They're always around a dog that does, but they don't fart. And strangely enough, they won't eat rice. Rice is almost never served in the palace. They don't eat rice. It's just one of the things that they just don't eat. And potatoes are also a big no-no unless you have a roast, okay? That's the only time that potatoes are acceptable. And the royal family will only eat, or the Queen will only eat, white eggs. She will not eat brown eggs.
That's it. I'm done with them.
Yeah, well, they taste much better. They will not start. Don't give the Queen a brown egg, even though they are exactly the same. There's no difference in the taste. Just a different chicken. And of course, tap water. Tap water is not allowed.
An inferior chicken.
Yeah. an inferior chicken. Tap water is not allowed, and they're always advised to avoid tap water when they are around. And this is mainly because of abroad, because this is a precaution in case maybe they get sick, and you can't have the royals getting sick. And the same goes for shellfish. They avoid eating shellfish because if it's cooked wrong, you can get ill, and we can't have royals throwing up anywhere. It's just very, very uncouth. So an interesting look at some forbidden fruits or forbidden foods from the royals. And I know that we've taken a month off here, and I'm sure you're chomping at the bit to find out what is going on in Herder's Corner.
Oh,
and
boy.
I know I was excited to get back to George Leonard Herder and his three-part opus, Bull, Cook, and Authentic Historic Recipes and Practices from beautiful Wasaka, Minnesota. One of these days, I'm gonna look up Wasaka, Minnesota, and just see what it's like. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's a great place. I have no idea, but if anyone takes anything out of this show, to track down Herder's books. They're a fun read and crazy recipe. So because so much of our food was biblical, I thought I would go back to a recipe from before the time of Christ. I mean, we're talking like, you know, this is Roman, early Romans before Jesus was born, and
well, as far as Herder goes, didn't we do the like the Virgin Mary's peas or something?
Yeah, we actually, I didn't do the recipe, but I mentioned it was close. I want to do the Virgin Mary's cream spinach recipe.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, it's in here, and
I knew
someday,
it was something green.
Someday I'll do it, but I decided to go with the Portuguese recipe from before the time of Christ for an anchovy cracker and bread spread. Now, I believe I know your take on seafood. You're not a big fan, right?
Not a big fan, no.
Like, how about fish sticks or something like that? You didn't like those bready fish sticks?
I'll have sticks made of fish.
Fish
but
sticks
I don't
are...
eat fish sticks. I don't fall for that trap.
You don't fall for that trap.
They
but,
try to get me at work with that all the time, but they never do.
I didn't say Thai stick. It's fish stick, okay?
Yeah.
But there's.
You're really just, into fish sticks.
You're not a fish stick guy. You didn't love your frozen fish sticks.
I like breaded sticks of chopped fish. Yes, with ketchup. Those are good.
With ketchup or tartar sauce.
Tartar every once in a while, yes. But I'll get a craving for those once in a while. And sushi, I'll eat some sushi here and there. But
that's fine.
As far as I go.
That's all right. You know, my wife won't even look at fish. I can't even open up a can of tuna in the house. If I do, and she's gone somewhere. Once she was on away for a week and I opened up a can of tuna and I dripped some of the juice on the rug in front of the door, thought I got it all. Threw the can away, washed the can. She comes home, and I didn't smell anything, but right away she goes, "You've been eating fish." So
yeah.
I had to throw the doormat.
I used to eat tuna salad as a kid, tuna casserole. I would eat like a salmon, you know, some salmon or something like that. And as an adult, nope. No interest at all.
So,
I cannot believe that I used to eat tuna salad.
I love tuna salad.
Tuna salad.
A tuna melt. Oh, my
tuna
God.
Melt, yeah.
Delicious. So, do you know much about the humble anchovy?
I have processed. I've made recipes with anchovies before and, like, made, like, I worked at a place where the Caesar dressing that we made had anchovy in it, so I had to chop up a lot of anchovies.
It does. The good thing about anchovies is they add a very umami taste to a lot of stuff, and they basically dissolve. I mean, my wife is a fish hater, but she loves my pizza sauce because I make a homemade pizza sauce, and the secret is I put an anchovy in there, and I fry it up with the onions.
It doesn't taste fishy at all. No, it's just sort of a salty umami taste. Yeah.
I knew a girl back in my salad eating days that would order anchovies on pizza, and they were terrible. I hated them. But I later learned that there are two types of anchovies. There are good anchovies from Italy, you know, that are packed in olive oil, and there are lousy anchovies that are lousy. So, you know, I have a jar of good anchovies, and they don't taste incredibly salty. They're fishy. They're olive oily. They have that umami taste. So there's a difference in anchovies. I might even try these anchovies on a pizza. But this recipe here is for a spread for bread from before the time of Christ. Now, I don't know how Herder got this, but he's a man of mystery. Maybe he was in Israel and found some...
He got a lot of shit, yeah.
Yeah, the Dead Sea Scrolls. I don't know where he got it, but I'll read you. It's a very quick description of this recipe. The Portuguese people have been famous since long before the time of Christ for their preparation of anchovies. Anchovies are a small, minnow-like ocean fish. They are prepared by skinning them and preserving them or canning them with salt and olive oil. The Portuguese invented a cracker and bread spread over 19 centuries ago. That's a fucking long time. That is one of the finest and most different ever made. In popularity, it is spread all over the Middle East centuries ago. If you like fish or seafood, you will really like this great delicacy. Now, it is expensive to make, but wonderful for a special occasion or holiday. It's not that expensive to make anymore. Anchovies might have been a lot more expensive during Herder's time, but you can get decent anchovies now for a decent price. Now, here's the recipe. I did cut the recipe in half because I didn't want to make this much. But you take 1 2-ounce can of filet of anchovies from Portugal, empty the contents of the can into a bowl, add olive oil, and one package of cream cheese. Now, I don't know if cream cheese was available back in those days, but he says one package of cream cheese, such as Philadelphia cream cheese, which might have been tough.
You know, Philadelphia cream cheese, I think, was developed in Philadelphia.
I don't know.
Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, New York. But
19
yeah.
centuries ago, I'm not sure if they had a good...
Yeah,
you know, but anyway,
or a anything that resembles cream cheese. Yeah,
but we're not done yet. Now you have to add 1 level tablespoon of butter to this, and then take a level tablespoon of prepared mustard, such as French's, and you take a table fork and mix the mixture well. It takes a little time to break up the anchovies into small pieces with your fork, so the small pieces mix in well with the cream cheese, spread on crackers or bread. Very wonderful, different tasting, whether used as a main meal or a before dinner hors d'oeuvres, okay? So, I went ahead. I have a picture of it that I will post once this show drops. I'm going to bring it over here. It looks a lot like pate, okay? I smashed it up here. And I have not tried this. I made this last night, so I spent the night in the refrigerator to give the everything a chance to meld together. So I'm spreading it on a cracker. Actually, it's a piece of crustini here. This little, not a bagel bite, but like a little crouton type of bread cracker or whatever. So here we go. Good.
I was gonna say, if you like the sardines on their own, then
it doesn't. Strangely enough, it tastes a lot like tuna fish. It tastes like because you know, I don't put cream cheese in my tuna fish, but I do put a little bit of mustard in there, and you know. This is really good. I would add a little pepper to it. I think if I was to put this out at a party, I think people would like it. I really do. And just when you think that this guy's going to give you a bad recipe, he doesn't. I mean, I thought for sure this was going to be one of the go down in history, like the anise oil in the salsa that was the only one that I didn't dig. But no, this is actually, her has done it again.
It sounds like one of those things that gets better as you eat it, because you're just like, oh, this is okay. This is good.
I've turned into George Lucas. Oh, this is good.
That's how when I had bacon jam was like, it was like, oh, this is good. And then like I was just like, after like five crackers full, I was like, this is like crack.
No, this is like a tuna pate, if there's such a thing. It has that umami taste to it. And it's really good. I don't think I'm breaking any forbidden foods eating it.
It'll probably be better after overnight too of everything.
Well, you know, I made it yesterday, and
there you go.
So
yeah,
it gave that, you know, the exquisite. I wonder if the queen would eat this. I'd have to cut the bread off of it, the crust off of it. But
Jesus.
But no, it's actually very good. And I always like ending the forbidden food or the eat it content of our show with a good recipe. And this is definitely, it's good. It's good. I wouldn't probably make it again, but I wouldn't be embarrassed to put some on a little piece of a bread or crackers and put it out there. People would eat it. You put some of that fancy little.
Yeah, that's true. Don't tell them what it is, because people are weird about it.
Oh, yeah, they are. They are like, weird about that.
Unless you're in, like, foodie adventurous people, which so, actually would be who would be, we'd be around a percentage of those. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in closing, would you say that you're an adventurous eater, or you
I
eat,
will. Well,
I get the point that
any.
You would try. You
I don't
try.
Like, I don't like those fishy things. No, but like, I wouldn't blame anybody for it. I'm an adventurous eater until I guess I can't like officially call myself an adventurous eater because I don't get into the seafood and the bugs and stuff like that. I like, yeah, viscerally, I'm like, I would have to be like, talk to me in 20 years. Maybe I'll be
would you taste a little bird that you put a towel over your head?
Nah, I don't like the idea of that. I don't like the idea. I don't like, I stopped eating shrimp because even fried and battered shrimp were too crunchy like bugs for me.
So I guess the Roman recipe for stuffed dormouse would definitely not make your Oh, well, you know what? My kid's the exact same way. So he's not going to be an adventurous eater. He'll be in chicken nuggets for the rest of his life. So, but unless you have anything else to say in closing on forbidden foods, that's about all I have to. Might have been a little bone there. Something, I don't know. Okay, it's gone. Okay. Oh, there. Forbidden foods. And with that, I guess we're going to look over at the green room. And it looks like it's almost like someone hauled a bunch of junk in there. Is somebody building a slide projector out of a tin can or I don't know what the hell is. Maybe there's going to be a slideshow.
Yeah, this is not looking like the usual presentation.
You know, I thought that there was going to be a lot of people in the room, but there just appears to be one incredibly large man in there. So we'll have to squeeze our way in there and see what the hell is going on.
All right. And if you're not careful, you might learn something before you go.
Beautiful. Love it.
All right, we'll be right back.
Good day, worms! Gunny Sergeant Frank Horney of the USMC here. Do you ever feel your testosterone flagging? Ever feel cocked by life? Is your man juice waning? What the hell is wrong with you? Simpering in the corner when you could be ordering genuine DemanzaCorp Master Supplements. Whimper no more! We have 250 milligram Supra Megla Grow Extremity Enhancer. Try our Elk Spleen Hair Scarers. Intimidate those follicles to grow new hair. Baby Tear Knee Juvenator. Take the squeak out of that creaky knee. Sergeant Frank, shut the Cup Elephant Pills will give you all the energy you need to shout down your worthless friends and family on social media. Having trouble in the husbandly arts? You are, aren't you? Well, stand up straight, clean your room, and pop it down the rabbit hole for Tillapill, the blue pill of the red pill. We are here and prepared to perk up your prostate, to hose out your sewer lines, and seed hair and sweat over every inch of your body. Our international body of anonymous scientists and healthologists have formulated the most potent formulations legally allowable to keep blasting your madness into alpha mode. Are you just going to put on your man dress and give up? Or are you going to get with the program? You make me physically ill. You better be fumbling for your credit card.
The Monza Corp operators are on the line 24 hours. Call the number below to dodge a life of girlish wussification today. Hello and welcome to a very special episode of Beat It, a podcast about pornography, and we're going to have to warn you that parental discretion is advised on this episode.
Dealing
with adult subject matter. I'm one of your hosts. I'm Dumb Donald McDonald, and I am here with Ancient Latin language expert Centurus Foldus.
In vino veritas, my friends. In vino veritas.
And we're opening up a can of worms in this episode.
Are we? You know, we took a little break.
There's a million ways this one can go bad, so
there's also some ways it can go good.
We did forbidden food, so yeah. We were thinking of forbidden sex, but that sounds like a way to get in trouble on the internet, you know?
Yeah, and you had, that was your original plan for this month's topic, and I'm starting to figure out certain things of, you know, how I'm going to go about this, and we were going back and forth, and then all of a sudden, I think it's maybe 10 or 11 o'clock at night, East Coast time, and I'm, you know, laying in bed watching the YouTubes, and all of a sudden I get an instant message from you that said something along the lines of, holy fuck, I didn't know this existed. Stop the presses. This is what we're going to do. And I look at it, and I said, oh, yeah.
Perfect. Is this what... You probably thought what I thought when I first saw the saw it and thought, is this what I think it really is?
How did you find it? Before we get into what...
Somebody posted it up on Facebook and said, look what I found. I think I was on a Subgenius website or something, but they were just like, did anybody know this happened? And I thought to myself, no, I did not know that this happened.
No, it's
I don't remember this at all.
You know, this is your baby, so I'm gonna let you bring this in. Go ahead and tell everybody what we decided to do today. It's not our usual fare, but it touches on what we'd like to discuss.
It is not an actual piece of pornography, but it is concerning pornography.
Yes.
It is a Saturday morning cartoon. It is an episode of Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids called Softcore, and addressing the issue, and they covered everything. They covered people dying in gang violence. They covered child molesters.
They
everything. Violent abuse by parents. The whole nine yards. So of course they had to cover pornography. But now this is probably more like early 80s Fat Out.
1979. This
79. So this. This is later era Fat Albert.
Yeah, this is when
Brown Hornet's in it, you know it's later.
Yeah, this is when Fat Albert was relabeled to the new adventures of Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids. The show, amazingly, it ran from 1972 to 1985. And what are your memories of Fat Albert in general? I'm curious. I asked Lee you met Lee. He's yes. So I asked him because he's, you know, my token black best friend and best man at my wedding. But what was Fat Albert to you? Is it something that
I loved it. I loved Fat Albert. Fat Albert was, because usually what happened with cartoons in these days is if you got up early enough, you got to see whatever the channel, your local channel's feed of cartoons, which means old public domain, Davy and Goliath, stuff that they had on file, you know. There was like Yamamoto, like a cat and a mouse that were Chinese or Japanese stereotypes. And the old cartoons, and they were like beat up and stuff, and then you would get the network feed, and towards the end of the network feed would be Fat Albert was like one of the last things on them, and usually there'd be like blocks of I used to watch CBS, so CBS always had the film, a lot of the Filmation stuff, like there would be blocks of like Tarzan and Zorro and stuff, but then like you would, as the Cosby Kids just seemed sort of separate. Filmation cartoons were usually crappier cartoons, but
they were. Didn't Filmation do Thundar the Barbarian?
Yep.
And yep. And that whole block of cartoons that you know, I was a kid and you know, I would pretty much watch anything, but Fat Albert,
they did Star Trek.
Yeah, Star Trek, and but you know, it followed the standard. They reused a lot of animation scenes, but this is, you know, it was Bill Cosby, and at this
well,
time,
this had Star Trek, and this were like the premier Filmation stuff, and like. Star Trek was at weird times. You had to catch Star Trek at weird times for Filmation reruns of that. But Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids had Bill Cosby involved. It had an extra level. The music was better than the average. It didn't sound. It was canned, but it was all canned for Fat Albert. So there was like it was funky. It
had, yeah, the theme had song organs. Was catchy.
I cannot find any recordings of just the, you know, canned themes from Fat Albert. I would love to, because they're
really?
All super funky. Yeah, I can't find them anywhere.
The theme song?
Oh, the theme song's all over the place.
But you mean the music that they played?
The music they would play in the background was the music in Star Trek. I love the Filmation Star Trek music just because I used to watch it as a kid, and it was like sub. The TV show, but it still had a real mood to it. And then they would reuse it all the time in like Tarzan and stuff like that. So it got a generic feel to it. But the Fat Albert stuff was unique to Fat Albert, and it sounded like a good, you know, it was the Junkyard Band, and it was, it was funky, and it was more down to earth, you know, and if you look at the backgrounds, like the skyscrapers are kind of stylized and stuff, mm-hmm. So there's more style to it.
Than there is.
One. I just loved Fat Albert. I never felt like Fat Albert was like a black cartoon. It never felt like
it. Never felt it. Like that, and I think part of it may have been because
Bill Cosby was very conscious.
Bill Cosby
to make
was
it not be like that.
One of the first comedians that I remember hearing, and this is how a testament of how beloved Bill Cosby was, you know, he was everywhere. I mean, this guy, I think that, you know, this cartoon came from a routine. Fat Albert came from a routine that he did during his stand up about a game that we used to play in our neighborhood. And it was kind of a jump game where you would five or six kids would lean up against a wall or a car, and you would bend over and you would kind of look like a human centipede. You let the next guy would grab the next guy's waist and the next guy's waist. And then he said, you know, my friends, all of a sudden they got Fat Albert. And of course, you know, Fat Albert jumps and crushes everyone. But I think Bill Cosby put this, you know, put this show together, and he actually tried to do, you know, good. And it would always come on, and I would say, oh, Fat Albert, you know, I don't know if I'm, but you'd always, I would always get sucked into it, and I would always wind up enjoying it and watching the entire thing. And I didn't think of it as a black thing either. Like you're saying, I did ask Lee, I said, hey man, I got to ask you about Fat Albert. He's all, yeah.
But it's not whitewashed either.
No, it isn't. I said, did you watch Fat Albert as a kid? He's all, yeah, we watched Fat Albert. You know, my dad liked Bill Cosby. I said, was it ever like a thing that it said, this is a black cartoon and I'm going to watch it? He goes, nah, it wasn't like that. You know, because he started talking about some of the other black cartoons, like the Globetrotters or right. You know, all the other stuff. He goes, it was just a cartoon. And we didn't think about it as any like, oh, this is great. We have a cartoon that deals with the inner city of Philadelphia and all that. He goes, we just watched it. You know, we watched it the same way we watched, Tom and Jerry Hour.
Yeah, I thought like when I thought about it, I thought about it as set in a city, set in the city, you know. And I mean, I think Bill Cosby really like did a lot of like thinking about how he wanted to portray it. And yeah, watching it, it's like, but the thing is, it had there was just always a pattern. Like this one starts out with him playing tug of war. And then there's always just like a good minute and a half of them insulting each other.
Oh yeah. I mean, one of the things I have is there were quips, tons of Fat Albert's friends were assholes. They were just terrible to Fat Albert, you know? And you may ask, okay, why are we, what does Fat Albert have to do with Beat It? Well, you found an episode and you had said that, you know, Bill Cosby, he didn't shy away from subjects that other cartoons probably wouldn't do. And you found an episode called Soft Core. Okay. That was the name of the episode, which I don't think could get made today. Not that there's a lot of cartoons today that are on.
Today,
we'd porn, have to look at it.
Porn is like the availability of porn and how a kid would get exposed to porn today would be so different. Well, you could never mind. You could still set up the same scenario. It's such a loaded topic.
Yeah.
Even at whatever time period you're doing it for a kid's cartoon, that they had to really think about, okay, how are we going to do this? How are we going to approach this without making it offensive, but and what's our lesson going to be? And like, normally the lesson would be like, don't look at porn. It's bad.
Yeah. But
he wanted to get, he wanted to explain why porn was bad. And like, obviously without doing it as a religious that, you know, it's God says that porn's bad, instead saying, well, you know, this isn't the best way to learn about sex, or this isn't what set, you know, this doesn't show you the real beauty of sex, you know, this weird sort of.
And it was weird. It was.
Yeah, it was very strange.
It was. And, you know,
the messaging in this show, we're just going to have to say from now on is just fucked beyond all recognition by Bill Cosby himself in the modern context. Cause now, you can't help but superimpose that over this and over every word that Bill Cosby says on the topic of sex and respect for women and all this.
Yeah, exactly.
Respect for women is a strong theme in this.
It is. And like you said, in hindsight, it actually is pretty sad. But, you know, one of the things about the animation on this, before we get into it, is it brought back all kinds of memories of the cast of characters. I mean, we had Fat Albert Robertson, you know, that was Fat Albert's name, and he was voiced by Bill Cosby. James Mushmouth Mush. And, you know, who in school didn't have one kid that liked to talk like Mush Mouth? You know, everyone did. Dumb Donald Parker. He was actually not voiced by Cosby. William Bill Cosby was actually a character. And it was based on Cosby himself. And he was the kind of straight-laced looking guy. And he was voiced by Cosby. Russell Cosby was another character. And that's Bill's younger brother. I never knew the names. And he was not voiced by Bill Cosby.
One of his most famous albums was this album's dedicated to my brother Russell.
Brother Russell,
Who I slept with.
Weird Harold Simmons. He was the tall, beady-eyed kid. He was the tallest of the. He wore a gold blazer and a brown sock on one foot and a red sock on the other, and he was kind of clumsy. And he was not voiced by Cosby. And there was Rube Ruby Davis. He was the sharp-dressed, smooth-talking huckster, and Bucky Miller, and he was the athlete. And played the stovepipe organ in the Junkyard Band. And I always loved the way that these guys were animated when they walked. Each person had a different walk. And when you threw them together, man, the theme song that they had when they were walking, they were just
funny. It got to the point where that walk – like and it was shoddily animated because they just basically got them all with their, and like one of them had a really fast shuffly feet and like some of them had like sort of the R crumb keep on trucking like their walk, but it was all, they just slid the cell forward, so they'd just be sort of sliding across the sidewalk doing their walk. But by this time, we were so far into Fat Albert and all those tropes were so that they would graft in laugh tracks of just that when they would walk away, the laugh track would go off.
It was your typical,
was like, yeah, it was like 1970s funny, the way they walked.
Laugh track inspired cartoons a la Scooby-Doo and all of those other type of shows that had laugh tracks. But let's get into a little bit of the I have a little synopsis of the storyline here real quickly. The gang is, you know, they're playing tug of war, and after they finish playing tug of war, we meet Dustin. Now Dustin is the cousin of one of the characters. Bill Cosby calls him Dennis, his little cousin.
Yeah, so I was just gonna see if you caught that.
Yeah, I caught it because I went ahead and erased Dustin from all of thing, and he wouldn't call him Dennis, so I wouldn't put Dustin back. So Dustin, he looks like a pimp man. He's got a bowler hat. He walks in there, and he has secured, these slides of the Art of Love. Best way, you know, it's the best way to say, you know, I've got fuck slides. So he winds up, they're going to go back into the junkyard and set up a slide projector to look at these. And then, of course, you had mentioned that the Brown Hornet comes in. And I got to tell you, as a kid, I was not a big fan of the Brown Hornet.
I hated when they inserted the Brown Hornet in because it took out the song.
It took out the song, because the Cosby Junk Band was not there, and it interrupted the flow of the of the cartoon. And I thought, you know what, if they want the Brown Hornet, then they should have a whole spin-off of the Brown Hornet himself. Okay, I didn't think they needed that, but maybe they couldn't.
I think maybe they thought that might have been in the cards later on, but it never happened. Yeah,
no, it never happened. But I was not a big fan of the Brown Hornet. But you know, I asked Lee, "Hey man, were you happy with the Brown Hornet? I mean, he was the first black superhero." He goes, "Man, it was a black. He had the Falcon was a black superhero. We had all right. So he wasn't a fan of the Brown Hornet. He just annoyed me. You know, maybe it was a big deal to have a black superhero, but you know, he was just kind of a comic relief.
Well,
superhero.
that was what Bill Cosby wanted. He wanted to do a portrayal of a, but it became so, like, it was so broad, it was a parody, and it was fun. It's funny. It's more fun now because it's they're watching a cartoon in Cartoon World, so it's a little more stylized and super detached from reality, you know, where the stars are actually star-shaped stars that he can grab onto and stuff.
Yeah, like I mean, it would have made a nice series itself, but the Brown Hornet always tied in with the rest of the episode, you know, and during that bumper after that.
This is what I'm saying. I don't see how it ties in this episode.
Yeah, you know what? I gotta agree with you. From what I'm reading, it said he did, and then the bumper after the Brown Hornet, Bill Cosby says, "Why can't we have more people like him who can disagree without being disagreeable?" Okay, kind of profane, you know, kind of profound there. You know, who can disagree?
I did stop and,
but I didn't see anything like that.
But that wasn't really part of the Brown Hornet. It was a part of the porn discussion.
Which
makes me think that they actually just sort of randomly, like, they might not have had their shit together that much with the Dennis and Dustin mix up, and just like having a bunch of Bill Cosby plat. Because this one, maybe it was too thorny. Because this Brown Hornet, like, there was maybe a lesson in, like, your enemies will try to turn you against each other and that will weaken you or something. Or, you know, don't let people turn you against your loved ones or something. But it also had a weird... I couldn't tell if it was, like, lightly anti-Semitic.
Yeah, one of the villains had money.
Or just weirdly anti-capitalist or weird libertarian capitalist, because the hero, the villain, Dr. Dreadful, is a praying mantis sort of bug creature.
Yeah, that's him.
And
loves the money.
Kind of a Jewish stereotype, just enough to go like, huh. And he's just like, I'm the money and the tax collector, and I like the money, and I'll get your money.
If they would have changed his voice, like, hey, I'm the tax collector, like the art barter, like the art barter from the Pink Panther, that definitely would have been a Jewish stereotype, but they didn't.
Hey, Brown Hornet.
Yeah, hey, Brown Hornet.
Why don't you come out of the spaceship?
But come on, you got a couple of shekels?
And it's like he's trying to, like, but is it this anti-taxes or is it anti-money?
I thought the same thing.
What the hell is going on? Like doing coke or, you know?
but I was hoping you had caught the reference to the rest of the cartoon, but I guess I wasn't the only one. All right.
No, I saw. I'm like thinking that they purposely just stuck a random
Bill Cosby,
some randomness, and then a random Bill Cosby platitude at the end.
Not even that. It wasn't exactly Yoda, was he? You know, I mean.
Yeah.
But you know, after that, the kids walk by a billboard, and the billboard has this chick. It's like a beach or a suntan billboard. It's got this beautiful blonde on it, and they're checking it out, going ooh la la, and you know, it's getting him in the mood to really go and check out this slideshow. And then it's one of the better quips. You get quips like this all the time. One of the quips tells Fat Albert, if we had a face like your face, we would pay a pickpocket to lift it. And his friends were assholes, you know.
That was the Dozens, you know.
They're all over the place.
And also, I gotta say, by this time, Fat Albert had such a moral weight on his character in that Fat Albert is... you know, wise. The Fat Albert in this one, if you put him side by side by one of the first Fat Albert episodes, you know, Fat Albert would be a lot more comedic character. And I saw a clip of Fat Albert confronting a racist, like, young Nazi type. It, like,
wow,
well, you're a part of a hate group and, you know, you have no part in our neighbor. And it's just like, you know, they were. It was so, like, he was so popular that Bill Cosby felt the need to make, you know, you can't have Fat Albert messing up. Like, he was always messing up in the early episodes.
And he had to have the high moral ground.
Yeah, and he became like the proxy for Bill Cosby in it. And it's funny because Bill Cosby is just a master of striking a tone for teaching lessons in a cartoon that I don't know if anybody else has ever been able to do, because remembering it as a kid, because mostly it was like, you know, G.I. Joe says that drugs are bad. Remember that, kids? Okay.
Well, if I remember, there weren't very many cartoons that had, like, bumpers or human bumpers like Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
I can't really think. I can think of, you know, you had to have a little bit of a lesson at the end of a cartoon.
If they were telling you a lesson, it was just direct, simple, stupid, broad lines. Not that this is super nuanced, but...
No, it was actually rated one of, like, the top 10 cartoons ever. And
because
then
he talked to kids like... This was a serious episode, so But Bill Cosby also can joke around while having a serious face and still slide a joke in there, but, like, he's being serious. But he'll say something that sounds like it's going to be... really, you know, old Dennis is thinks he really knows what's going on.
Yeah, and he was very serious,
blah, blah, blah,
when he made these bumpers.
Yeah.
He was practically shaking his fist and saying, and it goes to,
yeah, but
to
then
show.
he would just sort of leave it on the kids. He would say something like, but you know, Fat Albert's paying attention, and the other guys aren't getting. And he wouldn't tell you where you were going with the moral lesson, but he would tell you, be like, you know, hey, pay attention to Fat Albert, you know, he might be catching on to it. And he put you into the situation and sort of gave you responsibility for, he was going like, yeah, you'll figure it out, but you know, here, this is just how it's going. And it was, you felt like you were being talked to as a human and as an adult.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
And anything else.
For our younger people out there that might be listening, I think it's tough to understand how beloved this guy was. But at the same time, this is the guy probably at this stage, he was slipping roofies in drinks of women.
He was probably in the prime of it.
Yeah,
yeah,
and
looking
that is
at him
why,
and going, oh, this guy's young. He's got lots of energy to be creepy.
Yeah,
at this
and
point.
Do you think the fact that he was so beloved? I mean, these some of the first comedy albums I listened to were Bill Cosby because they were clean and they had no trouble listening to them. Do you think the fact that he was so beloved was maybe why these women never came out and said anything? Because Bill Cosby's America's uncle, man. Who's going to believe that this guy
And at the same time, you know, they might hate him and stuff, but they might not want to be the person
that brings him down.
Destroys that after, you know, this is a guy that did picture pages on Captain Kangaroo. Picture page. It's time to do your picture pages.
I don't care what, you know, white, black, Mexican, everybody, there was a Bill Cosby record almost everywhere, and you can.
Well, they were that bridge between like Richard Pryor and George Carlin and the adult stuff with swearing
and
in
Red
it.
Fox and
yeah, yeah,
you know.
but it was clean, but at the same time, it was actually funny,
It was hilarious.
I just remember like as all my friends and I used to like trade tapes of all the comedy albums, and like I remember listening to all the Bill Cosby albums, and you know, and the
yeah,
you know
we had the routines memorized, and little did we know that he was just the shit ass, you know, just
yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Well, I mean, I think that era was, you know, on a curve, he might have been one of the lesser predators, you know, and it was just sort of like,
I mean,
Uncle Milty was a big old perv, you know, sex fiend and all that stuff. But, you know,
I mean, he wasn't maybe not Harvey it's just Weinstein. So
it's very disappointing. I associate Bill Cosby with my grandfather.
Yeah.
My grandfather had the same demeanor with kids, and he was, you know, he always talked to you as an adult, as an adult person. He didn't talk to you exactly the same way he would talk to an adult, but when you talk to him, he wasn't like the people who were like, oh, hi, how are you? Or like, you know, just sort of, it's a subtle thing, but Bill Cosby had this relaxed thing where you felt like you were with an adult, but you didn't feel like you were an adult was
going to be. That's why Bill Cosby can get away with, you know, can do a cartoon where you can talk like this. Thunder the Barbarian was not going to tell you not to play grab ass, but if Bill Cosby told you, you're going to believe it. At the end of this, I
think this one was a fail as far as like, I mean, I would have enjoyed it as an episode, but I don't know what message I would have gotten from it.
No.
And the way they had to present it, you had this weird thing with Dustin is sort of like the porn pimp.
Yeah.
If he was selling, hey, I got magazines for sale, then okay, it's making sense to me. But what is Dustin, the devil or something?
Hey, first like, one's free, hey, baby.
Hey, well, you know, look at these slides. Here's some home, you know, he's,
yeah.
He's teaching. Well, here's some homework. Hide it from your parents.
Yeah, well, Dustin goes ahead.
I'm going to step you up. Maybe we'll get, and probably moving into movies next time.
Yeah, a little
more,
you know.
That's not really how it worked as much. Mostly it was just like, look what I found. Whoa,
exactly. I'll get into that. I mean, Dustin sets up a rigged up slideshow in the junk house, the shed, and the kids all get around there like, ooh, ooh, and they're watching it with the exception of Fat Albert and another kid. You know, they're not having anything to do with it.
Russell's too young.
Yeah, Russell's reading.
Russell doesn't even know what's going on. He just wants to read his comic.
Fat Albert wants nothing to do with it. You know, they're watching this dirty slideshow, and all of a sudden, you know, it's time to go. Dustin calls out, hey, don't forget your homework, and he passes out magazines to everybody, dirty magazines, and some of these have great photos of nature's scenic wonders, but keep them away from your folks, if you know what I mean. And like you said, Russell and Albert are the only ones that won't partake in any of this. And, the magazines all have white chicks on them. And I'll say, man, why didn't they put some black chicks on the magazine or something? But not that matter. Maybe they didn't get Salt and Pepper magazines back then, but they take the magazines
back in those days. That was a lot more rare than a blonde, you know. That was the thing, like, yeah, black people in porn were more of like a rare spice than the topic of some of a, like, you know, there wasn't a blaxploitation section of porn, you know, at this time.
Yeah,
we're getting close to the world of the Dark Brothers, but
yeah.
Not right there yet.
Not quite there. Well, then after the kids get the magazines, Cosby breaks in and says, boy, Dustin is really making a point at this stage, and it seems he doesn't want any parents into the act. Nobody, he doesn't want any parents into the act. I wonder why. Well, later on, Fat Albert, as you said, being the moral conscience of the cartoon, he sees Dustin and he says, "Man, I wanna talk to you about these magazines, man. You know, these magazines they're different and all, but they only show one side.
Yes, and one version sided of sex.
Of sex and the way sex works. You know, and." It's just strange.
Tell me about some of the other sides, Bill.
Yeah. Well, Dustin gets mad and calls Albert. Well, you're all high and mighty, and it seems like the gang is getting tired of you, and he's throwing your weight around, and you're on your way out. But as he's saying, we get to see the magazines that are being smuggled into all the gang's home. But Rudy, he's not afraid. You know, he's going to walk right into his house, and he's going to tell his folks that he's not hiding anything. So he walks into his house, and his parents say, "Hey, what you doing there?" He says, "I'm doing my homework." He said, "What you got there?" "It's a magazine. It's homework. So I'm going into my room to study." And apparently he, like, stays in his room for 8 hours because he falls asleep with the dirty magazine on his lap. And as he's sleeping, his mom walks in and finds the magazine, and I guess Rudy just takes off, you know? And not only did Rudy get caught, but all of the other Cosby kids got caught. And Fat Albert is going to take it upon himself to go over and, you know, talk to the parents about it and say, "Hey, look, you know, this dude's been promoting, you know, giving us these magazines, and we're sorry." And then we get into this whole speech by Rudy's mom that that talks about, you know, well, it's not these magazines. You know, some of us, where we go wrong in our information is these pictures are not the best way to learn about the human body and the facts of life, Albert. You should turn to your parents. You can go to your school nurse your teacher. I mean, what the fuck? Look at
not your teacher.
No, I'm gonna be honest with you, and maybe this. I didn't have anyone tell me about the facts of life. I learned all that shit from some kid in the neighborhood that would show up with dirty magazines, and that's how we all, at least that's how I learned.
By the time my parents got me, like, some of the standard, you know what's happening to my body books and stuff, and got them for my sister and I, but by that time it was too late. We were like, "Oh, thanks, Mom, cool."
I had one kid that we had a porn bush, and we would all go into porn bush, and
we had a porn rock.
Yeah, porn rock, where we kept all the, back in the day, it was common knowledge that the older kids, after they finished reading the dirty magazines, they would just throw them out the car in some random neighborhood, and sure enough, we would find them in the gutter, and it would be a great day, and that's how we learned about it. One kid knew all, he had a sister or something, he knew everything that went on, and he told us. I didn't have any fucking talk from my parents, and now my wife is like, "Well, you need to have a talk with the boy about that." I'm like, "I don't know what the fuck to tell him. I mean, what, are you gonna get hairy palms or something? I don't know. I didn't have the talk. I just found out." But
leave him that Emmanuel comic and
yeah,
leave it out.
You know, for him to see it. Well, they've got YouTube now. I'm sure he's probably knows more than I did at his age. But after the, you know, they all get forgiven for the magazines, and the gang finds Dustin, and they give him a present, and Dustin goes, "What's in here?" And he opens the present, and he goes, "What's with all this confetti?" And he goes, "That's your crummy magazines. They've torn up all of his magazines and given them back to Dustin, and pour them all over his head."
He's supposed to give those to Dad to dispose.
Yeah, exactly, you know. And then, of course, it's over. The Cosby kids walk away, and we get Bill coming on. And he says, "You just cannot beat correct information from correct sources on the female relationships to deliver a healthy attention attitude towards sex. Correct sources I'm referring to are your parents, teachers, or your school nurse. They'll tell
really
you the only
information they could really give safely on this show. You know, ask your parents."
School nurse.
Then after that, you figure out what the porn's really for, but you don't even know what it's for yet. So
yeah,
basically what's going on here is, like, yeah, you're using this porn all wrong. It's not for learning. It's for what you've learned, and then it's for you'll figure it out.
I couldn't remember any of the Fat Albert shows that you were talking about some of those heavy topics. You know, I always remember something about Fat Albert eating too much and his dad taking away half his pancakes, and I don't remember.
Fat Albert got a job as a drug runner once.
I don't remember any of those.
I remember that one. That one scared the hell out of me as a kid. He was, oh, he got a job delivering stuff for this local guy in the neighborhood, and he was delivering. Nobody knows what kind of drugs it was, but he's delivering drugs from one point to another.
I remember, and I asked Lee, "Do you remember this episode?" He goes, "Yeah, I think I remember that episode." And I sent it to him. He's like, "Yeah, I remember that episode." So, but you know, I didn't remember this episode. There are very few that I remember. I remember it's one of those cartoons I remember watching all the time. Because after you were done watching that, it was time to your parents would kick you out and say, "All right, Saturday, go out and play. You're not going to watch TV all day." So I would just use it as, "Hey, it's the last cartoon." But I always enjoyed it, and it's just too bad that Bill Cosby turned out to be such a dirtbag.
It sucks because these are great cartoons, but yeah, it's I guess. But like you could show them to kids. Kids won't know what's going on with Bill Cosby. But that's the problem is they're going to find out someday. So it's just sort of spoiled them. At least we've got them and we can remember the. Watching it remembered made me. And like I'm sure if I listened to a Bill Cosby album, it would make me remember how it felt. To think of Bill Cosby as just like this great guy. And even like when the Cosby Show got big and he got sort of to be a sanctimonious prick, it was still like, he sort of became like Jerry Lewis. Like, "I've achieved a level of stardom that don't you come to me without the proper respect," sort of attitude. But then you would be like, the guy's earned it. You know, he is really like, you know, made himself into this huge, and he's done a lot of good for people and stuff like that. So even the sort of prick Bill Cosby, but then it all just, yeah, it's just done.
You can't watch these shows and come away with a feeling that, you know, Bill Cosby had a hard time growing up. He loved kids and he was maybe trying to do something good, for kids. It's just a shame, man. But he's
the only thing that could have been worse is if he was a child predator. What it turns out is it's, you know, like a mental illness kink that he has that like he didn't even like think of as being wrong or whatever, but like at least it wasn't like, yeah, you know, well, like
the fact that he did so many special episodes before they probably became in vogue. I mean, every sitcom at one point during this time and probably, you know, into the 80s and maybe barely into the 90s, they all had a very special episode. I can remember the Different Strokes episode where the bicycle repairman played grab ass with Arnold, and the other one that I seem to remember was when Edith Bunker almost got raped at her 50th birthday party.
That's right.
And that one like traumatized me. I probably saw it on a rerun somewhere, and she let this guy in and
oh my god, that's right. I remember it was like seeing your grandma being traumatized.
But she was as old as I am now. It's a 50th birthday party. I don't look that old. I mean,
a little kid, she's an old lady.
But yeah. I'm not. I can't be Edith Bunker age when she got raped. No. It can't be. But yeah, these very special episodes. Yeah, they were. A big thing.
We were just talking about how when Little House on the Prairie introduced like a secondary character, that Albert or whatever, and then came to town. And he had a girlfriend, but she was telling everybody she was being pursued by a mass man killer, and he was like kept. Whenever she was alone, he would show up and rape her, and then like they ended up killing him, and it was her father. And it's Little House on the Prairie. So that whole time period was like, who can do the most like person jumping out the window on drugs special episode?
Oh yeah, I mean the worst one. Of. It's just like everyone had a special episode. One time the Waltons burned their fucking house down.
The Waltons got so crazy they had a poltergeist towards the end of Elizabeth.
It's like, let's have a very special. Anyway, I don't know if they have special episodes anymore. on sitcoms, but
no, it's a total different manner of storytelling now. It's actually more storytelling instead of just sort of like a format that they fill in something different every week.
I just don't think that you're going to see something like this again, where they're going to mention porn and how bad it is.
In a lesson in porn.
How
bad it is. They were just sort of like, you're misguided to be using the porn right now. It's not for a little jab at advertising.
Yeah, but, you know, it's like they were getting a little bit of, you know, this is not really the best thing to look at if you're trying to find out about the birds and the bees. And
but they were trying not to say porn. They were trying not to say porn bad, but they were trying to say, like, talk to your parents before, learn the birds and the bees before you go to
imagine going to the school nurse. What?
Yeah, no, nobody, just nobody, ridiculous. Nobody's going to the school nurse or their teacher.
You only went to the school nurse when you wanted to fake a stomach ache go home. Not when you wanted to ask about.
That was just out of a manual or something.
This was a fun little, because a little look back at my childhood.
On YouTube, so you can check it out. Yeah, it is on YouTube.
You can check it out, and you could probably find all of the other episodes that
there's a ton of episodes of Fat Albert and lots of clips of cringy moments from very special episodes. There's a episode about where a new kid in school is mentally challenged.
Oh no!
The teacher's like, "Fat Albert, have you noticed anything different about Bobby?" And he's like, "He's kind of talks funny and he stumbles, but he's a nice guy." And she's like, "Well, I can't remember what she said like he's a different thinking person." And then finally she goes, "Well." Well, Fat Albert, what I'm trying to say is he's retarded. And then Fat Albert like gives her this like what? And I'm just like, oh yeah, it's full, chock full.
Yeah, can you imagine the teacher saying, calling the kid Fat Albert?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, Fat Albert is towering above the teacher too. So
ever noticed Fat Albert? Let me tell you, have you ever noticed anything about Joe? Yeah,
but that was deep in the time where Fat Albert was beyond just a kid anymore.
He probably said, "Hey, Fat Albert, have you noticed anything about Joe the retard that seems a little weird?"
That was school.
Well, not any weirder than Barbara the albino. It's such a different world, you know. I mean, you couldn't put a cartoon out there today with a name like Fat Albert. I mean, you just can't. And the thing is that I doubt that there's any station in the country that is running Fat Albert reruns.
Know if there's selling DVDs of it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, Bill Cosby is nothing related to it. You can't even buy Jell-O.
At least they're leaving it up on YouTube. That's all.
That's all we need to see.
On YouTube, they don't.
I don't even know if I would show that to me. You know what? My wife wants me to have the talk with the kid. Maybe I'll just sit him down and have him watch that episode of Fat Albert, you know?
That problem solved.
I'll get all problem the Fat solved. Alberts about the mentally challenged kids. I'll have him watch all of that. And when my wife says, "Did you have the talk?" I said, "Yeah." I let him watch a couple of episodes of Fat Albert. He knows not to play grab ass.
So he'll be like, no slides and no magazines? Okay, got it.
And I can't go live in...
okay, right? Pornhub, okay.
Yeah, I can't go live in the junkyard, right? And Cosby was always fixing something. You know, it was like he was always like fixing a sewing machine
that was him doing his shtick. I'm sure all that stuff was improvised. I'm sure the script is screwdrivering a birdcage, and it was just he was just like, okay, put this in front of me and I'll do this, and then jump back.
He should have been feeling a jar of roofies. you know, measuring them out, and some back, this is Spanish fly. Maybe there was an episode where Fat Albert had some Spanish fly or something or some.
I may have to do some investigating today.
Yeah, well, that's one thing you can count on your Eat It and Beat It crack team of reporters. We dive into the hard topics that you may not want or you may not expect, but you're going to get anyway. So you got Fat Albert this month. Who knows what you're going to get? Maybe you'll get Gimpy Joe or Barbara the Albino next month. We don't know.
You knew you were going to get Fat Albert eventually. So
yeah, exactly. You know, I would like to know if he ever lost weight, because he's in danger of getting diabetes, you know? Yep. Someone should, I bet there's some
the Fat there, Albert but... stomach staple special.
There were several specials, you know, but yeah, this, the Fat Albert diabetes special, or the Fat Albert stomach staple special, or where Fat Albert gets his feet cut off because he's a diabetic, or
2 hours of just Fat Albert talking to you from dialysis.
I'm gonna look for some fan art on the internet of someone that drew a skinny Fat Albert, because, you know, maybe he lost his weight. And but yeah, it couldn't be. You couldn't have a Fat Albert show today. It would not fly with that type of name. But these were golden times, you know.
I never watched the Fat Albert movie that they made in the 2000s.
I never did. I never did either. I might have to try and dig it up and find it, you know.
It was kind of unfortunate when it happened, and now doubly so. Like, that it must have been like, well, let's put this behind us, and then Bill Cosby happened, and they were just like, Jesus Christ.
Damn it, we were just going to have the goddamn revival.
I thought it was a poor decision, and now it's like a double poor decision. And now it... Yeah,
we were going to do the CGI freaking Fat Albert. Now we can't. God damn it, you know? So, anyway, that's our look at Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids. I hope it brought back wonderful memories of Saturday mornings like it did me, and wonderful memories of dirty magazines and dirty slideshows that, you know, stag films that you may have watched. So thank you, Bill.
Yeah.
Thanks for everything except slipping those roofies and those girls' drinks.
Hey, hey, hey! Drink this drink!
Visit our website at twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled TWOTRUEFREAKS.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show, too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
Here's to mom. And for always letting us lick the spoon after she mixes it, here's to mom. And for not getting mad at us because we wore Dad's bowling shoes into the bathtub, here's to mom.
He